Pakistan was among the last countries to eliminate polio. It was 51 years ago today that Jonas Salk's polio vaccine was approved. But commentator Shelley Mickle's memories of the days before the Salk vaccine are always with her.
I was in the first grade when I became sick as a dog. It was 1950, and my parents hoped I had the flu. My calves ached, and a fever started. The local doctor in our little Arkansas cotton town pushed one leg up and then the other and said, no, I did not have the dreaded disease that was stealing childhoods at the rate of 50,000 a year. The aching moved into my stomach. I couldn't wake up, and my parents became frantic. They drove me to the big city of Memphis, where a renowned pediatrician gave me a close look and rushed me off to the building across the street. It was the isolation hospital, where polio victims were shut away from the rest of the world. Whole rooms of iron lungs housed children in one ward, adults in another. Only their faces showed, reflected in mirrors overhead. The sound was as if vacuum cleaners were hooked to the people's lungs, a terrific suck in as the air moved, and then a hard push out as the machines breathed for those who couldn't. I lay through that first night paralyzed from the waist down. There was not anything anyone could do but wait. While the virus climbed up my spine, I was too sick to be scared. I woke up to find that I had not been put into an iron lung, but the virus had stolen several muscles from each limb. Almost every day for the next 3 months, people from my little cotton town drove over the 60 miles to wave to me through the window. Each morning, hot, wet wool was wrapped around my legs, and you could smell it coming down the hall. A board was placed at the foot of my bed, and I was told to keep my feet against it to prevent further deformity. That's when I had a religious experience, for I'd been taught that God punished those who sinned, but the God I knew would never make me pay this way for the day I stole 2 nickels out of the collection plate. One night, to relieve my loneliness, the nurses rolled another child into my room. She was from a little cotton town like mine in Mississippi. She was much sicker than I. She could not move any part of her body and was allowed to leave her iron lung only for a few hours. She asked me to turn her head so she could see me, and we studied each other in shock and delight. For she was black, and in the outside world, our Jim Crow culture separated us in every way. But here, we lay side by side. I hopped paper dolls across her, and we laughed while I sang silly songs way past a normal child's bedtime. She watched me with a grace she must have practiced for a long time. Eventually, I was fitted with braces and crutches and sent home. When I asked a nurse about my night visitor, she said she had gone home too. But by then, I'd learned that when the nurses said a child had gone home, it could carry a different meaning. And only years later, when I thought how my friends struggled to breathe outside of the iron lung, I realized that, most likely, she had died. Back home, the clump and squeak of my braces gave me away in every game of hide-and-seek, and I was the rotten egg in every race I ran when I came in last. I gave myself a new name, too. I called myself Lucky.
Commentator Shelley Mickle's upcoming memoir of her childhood with polio is called The Rotten Egg Spills the Beans.